Wait, is it rolling now?
Yep. You were going to say something wonderful.
Oh, gosh. I know, now I feel pressure. Hi, and welcome to Undressed with Style Girlfriend. I am your host, Megan Collins, and this is our first podcast. I'm super excited. Can you tell? Are you excited? I hope so, but that's okay, because I'll be excited for both of us, no matter what. We called this little experiment of ours Undressed, because style is about so much more than clothes. And don't get me wrong, guys, I love helping you with picking out an outfit to wear to work tomorrow or helping you build a wardrobe that you're really proud of. But you know what? Style is about more than just that. It's about living with passion, about loving what you do and waking up excited every day, or, you know, at least most days. And so this is our forum to talk to cool, fun folks who are living their lives with style. I just really wanted to ask them, you know, what does it mean to you to live your life with style, to feel passion? How do you get to that kind of place? There's a lot of people that are really far from that. And, you know, there's a lot of guys out there that are close, but still feel like they have a ways to go. And that's just why I'm excited to basically pick the brains of people that I think are getting it right. And one of those people is our first guest, and that's Aaron Nagler. Aaron runs Cheesehead TV, which serves up Green Bay Packers coverage, as you probably could have guessed. He also works as an NFL analyst and video producer for FanDuel, which if you have the internet, you have probably heard a lot about in the past few days and weeks. And that's something we talk a little bit about. But it was just a really interesting conversation. And not just because he only realized that we were both from Wisconsin, literally like halfway through our conversation, which surprised the heck out of me because I thought everyone either knows I'm from Wisconsin or thinks I still live there and not in New York City. So it was hilarious to me when he, you know, connected the dots there and we got to talk a little bit about, you know, hometown pride and all of that. But, you know, it's so interesting because Aaron started literally about as far from working in NFL commentary as you can get, which I'll let him tell you about. But it just meant that my favorite part of our conversation was how thoughtful he was about every move in his life. Because I really believe that finding what you're meant to do is generally like a circling the drain action. You know, if you're smart and, yes, lucky, you just keep getting closer and closer to it. It's just, it's never generally a straight shot. And that's definitely been Aaron's experience. So I'm excited for you guys to hear about that. But before we get to our episode, I want to let you know about today's sponsor. Today's episode of Undressed is sponsored by Lumoid. Guys, as someone who takes, not even exaggerating, 10 minutes picking out toothpaste at the drugstore, the thought of spending hundreds of dollars or even thousands on a camera or, you know, other techie gadget, well, it can pretty much paralyze me. Apparently, Lumoid thought so too, and they came up with a better way to solve that problem, which is to stop buying those gadgets and rent them instead. Lumoid rents digital cameras and gear, everything from Apple Watches to GoPro action cameras to Canon lenses to drones. Yeah, I said drones. And Lumoid rents them for $8 to $18 a day plus shipping, which is a steal. And if you do decide that you want to keep an item, Lumoid credits 30% of your rental cost for the past year towards the purchase price. Sweet, right? And special for Undressed listeners, because I love you guys, you can head to lumoid.com/stylegirlfriend and use the code STYLEGF at checkout to get 15% off rentals for cameras and wearables. And now, on to our show. We are here with Aaron Nagler. Aaron, welcome to Undressed.
Thanks so much for having me. Still kind of in shock that I was asked to be here, but it's lovely to meet you.
Well, this is definitely how some of my favorite friendships, relationships blossom is over Twitter, which is how we met.
Yep.
And you've been following Style Girlfriend for a while. We followed you back and immediately realized that you were a Packers fan.
It doesn't take a lot of deducing.
No, yeah. And got so interested and so had to get you in on the podcast and hear about your very interesting career, which has taken quite a few turns and, right, and right, twisted as they may be, because my understanding is you started out as a Broadway actor, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I went to school for. I went to North Carolina School of the Arts, and when I graduated, I moved up to New York City in 2000, and that's what I was doing. I worked at an off-Broadway theater called Manhattan Theater Club, okay, and I did things like sell subscriptions over the phone. And while I was doing that, I was auditioning, and
that must not have been soul crushing at all.
No, it was. I gotta say, I have to say, it does sound kind of like cliche in New York. You know, I was sleeping on a buddy's couch and had this job, but I'll tell you, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you have a ball, you know, because you have no money, so you have to be really inventive, like how you have fun. And it's not like you're going out to restaurants and clubs because you can't afford it, but.
Unless you're sneaking in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you know somebody works there.
We're sneaking out the back.
It was a great time. And I was auditioning, and I did some kind of really small off-Broadway stuff. And then I got... The kind of last thing I did before I stopped acting was the national tour for the Full Monty, the Broadway production. And so that was fun. I got to take my clothes off in front of people.
Great. Right.
It was good times.
Your parents must have been so proud.
Oh, very, very. And at that point, I had a 3-year-old, I think it was, and she came to see the first act in New Jersey, not the second act.
She was all done, honey.
Exactly. And she really didn't understand what I was doing, but it was a lot of fun. I miss it a lot.
Really?
I do, yeah.
What was the decision to shift out of acting?
We got pregnant with our second child. Is what happened. I had a 3-week sit down in Detroit, and Carolyn came to visit me. And then I specifically remember we were down in like Alabama for Thanksgiving.
Okay. And is that where one of you is from?
No. This was the tour.
Okay.
And I was sitting there, and I called Carolyn, and I was at a Denny's, like in Alabama, eating this like horrible chicken dinner. And Carolyn had been at a party with our friends, and she was with Madeline, our oldest daughter. And I just remember being on the phone going, this just sucks, man. Yeah. I can't do this. And at this point she was pregnant, and it was just hard. You know, it was just too hard. Like, and I knew the kids didn't really wouldn't understand where I was and what I was doing. So I moved back, and I made the decision. I gave my month's notice on the contract, and then I came back to New York. Mm-hmm. And then I got a day job at a newspaper syndicate called United Media. And again, back on the phone, I was dealing with angry editors and circulation problems, and people would be mad about Dilbert, and because they syndicated these a bunch of like daily cartoons.
Wow.
And with their big claim to fame.
So you were feeling the angry calls.
Oh, yeah. Like people, I can't even remember some of the, they had some obscure stuff, but they represented Peanuts, like Charles Schulz, Charlie Brown, and stuff like that. Sure. So you never get bad calls about that, but it was always like people wanted to use their likeness for whatever and et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, every once in a while, somebody would get upset about a comic, and I would get to talk to them on the phone.
Wow. Yeah. I would think that you actually could put your acting skills to
good. I did. I pretended like I cared.
Right.
Is kind of how it worked, because it's like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, what is your life that you are taking time out of your day to call an office in New York City that has... You know, no responsibility in regards to creating the content that you're upset about. It's literally just a guy, myself, on the phone, sitting in a cubicle in New York City, having to listen to you. So, I don't know.
It's definitely, the points where I get angry about, like, a missing apostrophe or things like that when I read it in print, those are the times in my life where I'm like, oh, I don't have enough going on right now.
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't bother me so much. So, yes, good. I can imagine that people who call up to complain about what Snoopy's up to.
It was just a weird gig. Like, it was kind of one of those, like, kind of help out wherever you can kind of things.
I
was kind of an office boy, so to speak. And then I started at, I needed more money. We were having kids, and I was like, wait, I'm not making enough. So then I got a job at the Blackstone Group, which is a private equity firm. It was a jump. And when I started, I was just a floating assistant. Like, wherever they needed me, that's where I'd go.
So still an office boy.
Still an office boy. But then... I'll never forget it. It was they hired a guy to kind of start up their PR division because they hadn't had one. And,
really?
And they'd suffered all of this, like, kind of row of bad press.
Yeah.
So they were like, maybe we need a professional.
As financial institutions are wont
to do. Yeah, exactly. So maybe we need a professional. So they went and got this guy called Pete Rose, who had worked for Goldman for 20 years, and he was amazing. I loved him. And he was my boss. And so I kind of came on board the PR group. Mm-hmm. And I... did PR and government relations for, I guess, about 3 years there. And I was, you know, on the phone to our lobbyists in Washington. So it was very different phone calls.
Wow.
From United Media.
And how did they kind of handpick you for that? How did you...
I think it was... I honestly think it was just my theatrical background, because, like, I could talk to... I was really good at schmoozing with the journalists.
If
we're being honest here. And it's funny, too, because now... I mean, I cover the NFL, but I know a lot of those guys still, and I see them or run into them about sometimes. Like Peter Lapman, who's now with the Times, was then with the Wall Street Journal. and Michael De La Merced and guys like that. They follow me on Twitter, and so we occasionally have back and forths. There's one guy who actually, I think he writes for ProPublica, Jesse Eisinger, who, he's a huge Packers fan.
No, but I
didn't know that when I worked at
Right, because why
Blackstone.
Would it have come up, I suppose?
Well, it's funny because it started to come up because my buddy and I started our Packers site kind of around that time, 2007. And so Peter Lattman did a story on me in the Times about, like...
Did you pitch him for that? Or
no,
he just
pitched me. I don't remember. I think he came
You're
in.
You're like, yeah, okay.
It was weird. It was really weird. Like, he came in to talk to me, or talk to Pete, and we just got talking about football because I was always talking about football.
Okay.
That's what I do. And it was just so funny. And then one day he just emailed me out of the blue and said, I want to do a piece on you. And I was like, that's bizarre. Okay.
Yeah.
But he did. And it was great. And they sent a photographer to our house and photographed the whole family, like, quote unquote, watching a Packers game. It was hilarious. It was just hilarious.
Because like Wheel of Fortune was
It literally was me with a computer and we were just looking at our television. I think it was like something like Wheel of Fortune, something totally unrelated. But we got the girls in their Packer outfits and everything, and we all pretended like we sat on the couch and all watched the Packer game together, which never happens. But it was funny. It was a weird juxtaposition. But that's kind of where it started. And I would do things like, you know, I was pretty good at the job, and I was doing well, and I was getting promoted, getting, you know, raises, and it was great. I was kind of on a path, you know? And then, you know, I had started this Packer site, Cheesehead TV, with my buddy, Corey, who also was an actor. We met at school, and we would argue about the Packers all the time.
Sure, as Broadway actors often do.
Right, sure. And people would say, you guys should have a show, because all you ever do is just argue about the Packers.
Bicker amusingly.
I'm like, yeah, sure, fine. But we were doing this website, and we were doing a podcast, and he literally asked me, we should do a podcast, and I said, what's a podcast? Like, I didn't know. I had no clue. But we did it, and it started, and it kind of gained traction, and mm-hmm. it kind of just took off. It was weird. But I would do things like when, I think it was Minicamp was on, I had an Excel spreadsheet that wasn't an Excel spreadsheet. It was actually TweetDeck made to look like an Excel spreadsheet. So I was actually following along with practices. And like, oh yeah, boss, really hard at work here, but I'm like really following along with like what's going on at practice camp.
I love it.
So that's how kind of like my life for 3 years was. I would work from until I'd get out at like 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go home. On my way, I'd have a triple grande cappuccino. I'd have an hour with the kids, have an hour with the wife, and then they all go to sleep. And then I'd work on the website until like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd wake up at 6 and start it all over again.
I mean, as much as that sounds like it sucks, I actually love hearing people's stories like that because right. I think it's actually more frustrating when someone who maybe wants to start their own thing hears, yeah, I started the site, I got the Times right about me, and the next day I had a million views.
Exactly, right.
So the fact that you toiled for a while, I think that's generally how it is. I mean,
it has to be.
You have to be consistent. You have to be providing quality content, of course.
Well, that's
but
the thing.
You also just have to stick it out.
It's like, it sounds so simple, but it's so true. It's like, you have to be consistent in,
mm-hmm.
like, you gotta do it every day. Like, there can't be a day where you're like, I don't feel like it. Like, it has to be every day. And even if it's crap, like,
yeah.
Yes, it helps if it's quality content, but just get something out there every single day. Get into
Let
that
people
habit.
Expect
it's
it.
Like a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a muscle. Yeah, and that's the other thing. So many people that we've run into have started sites, they're just Packer sites, and like, they do it for like 3 months or so,
yeah.
and then they just stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's the big difference. And Mike Myers had a great quote like that. Back on, I think he was in the actor studio, when he said, somebody had asked him about his career and if he ever thought about giving up, and he looked at the person in the audience and said, the only difference between me and somebody like you or somebody who maybe is questioning it is that I didn't stop.
Yeah.
And that was it. I never stopped. I never gave up. Even the moments that I'm sleeping in somebody's car, you know, eating ramen, whatever, I never stopped. And it's great. And I always think about that because it's true. Like, if you just keep going. It's just...
Yeah, it's so unglamorous.
It sounds
it's such an unsexy
so easy.
Answer.
Yeah, it's true, though. It sounds so easy.
It doesn't sound easy. I think to anyone who's a month in and already going, what do I put up tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
It doesn't sound easy. I think it sounds easy to us because that's what we did.
Right, right.
Like, it just sort of became this thing where it's not a choice anymore. Of course I have to put something up tomorrow. No,
it's
no
what I do.
Me. It's just what I do.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So we were doing that, and then Bleacher Report kind of came after me a little bit.
I love those guys.
They were struggling with their content. It wasn't very good, and mm-hmm. people knew that, and people gave them crap about it all the time. And so they had hired a bunch of writers, like legit writers, and they approached me about helping with their NFL coverage. And, you know, that was a big jump. I mean, I had to take a significant pay cut to do it. And God bless my wife for, you know, signing up and going along with it. But to her, like she always says, like, you'd be doing it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's there was a time, like, just this past year where I really thought about kind of stopping the whole NFL thing. Like, I really thought about it, like, I think about 6 months ago, I was, like, ready to go, okay, it's time to pivot. But, and she said, she was like, you're going to be doing it anyway. Like, you might as well get paid for it.
Right.
Like,
yeah, do it during the day instead of at 2 or 3 in the morning.
2 or 3 in the morning, exactly. Which I still do. But, yeah, so they you know, they made it work at least enough that I could leave my job in finance, so to speak. And, yeah, so I started there. I started writing, and then I went over to the video side, and I helped them kind of build up their video group, and I helped bring in a couple guys I knew who covered the NFL, and it was great. I think we knocked it out of the park. I'm really proud of the work we did there.
Did you have any imposter syndrome of like, well, I'm not really a writer, or by that time, did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially the tough part was that, you know, I didn't come on with much of a brief. Like, they were very much kind of like drinking from a fire hose because they had a ton of traffic. And I'll never forget, like, there was a post that I put up about Tim Tebow being booed at the Yankees game. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, you know, a 500-word missive of nothing. You know, I was like, it's going to be lost in the midst of time.
Was there a point of view to it, though?
Kind of, a little bit, yeah. It was, you know, this is to be expected. Like, don't be surprised if you see, every time you see Tebow in New York, he's going to get booed.
Yeah.
Especially at a Yankees game.
Yeah.
And so then they put it on the front page, like, A1, like, main story. And I was like, wait a second. Like, this isn't supposed to be this. It's supposed to be some little blog post. And then it just, like, my Twitter blew up and all this stuff. And just because it was Tebow. But it was, like, nothing that I wrote. Like, it didn't matter. It just had his picture and his name. And that's all that mattered. And everybody's got an opinion about him instantly. But that was the moment where I was like, oh, wait a second. Now, there is, like, anything I write is going to be read.
Yeah, and people are going to have opinions
about it. And I was like, I'm not a writer. I am very much, and to this day I say, I'm not a writer. I'm a blogger. Very much, I wear that kind of moniker proudly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a hunter and a pecker on the on the keyboard. You know, I have a one finger wonder. But no, I'm just not a writer. It's just, I really had aspirations of being a writer when I started, but I came to realization very quick that I'm not. I can express myself, and I think I do a good job of, people have told me that I do a good job of kind of writing in a voice, my voice, like how it makes it easy to read, but I'm definitely not great.
And I think that also kind of speaks to what we were talking about before, where for us it's like, well, of course we just kept going, and it's the same thing with writing in your voice. That's something that my readers love about Style Girlfriend, thankfully, is like that whenever they comment, they're always kind of like, talking to me, and it makes it feel like it's a conversation.
Exactly.
And so the fact that you can write in your own voice, you know, you would be having the same conversation offline.
Right.
I think that's what people really relate to.
Yeah. It's interesting that when you meet people, like, who you've only ever seen online or on Twitter or whatever, and then, like, my partner Corey and I went to the opening of Packers Camp for the website, and we had a big kind of event where we did a live show and blah, blah, blah. But you meet people. I it was so bizarre. Like, those first 2 days, just walking around Lambeau Field, I had so many people come up to me and go, I follow you on Twitter. I love your stuff. Like, blah, 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 blah. I was like, this is awesome. Like, it was so great. And people were so nice. And, like, because you know how Twitter especially can be, like, just a sewer. Like, it can just be awful. Like, with people with the worst stuff to say and just are so mean and it's just whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
But then to, like, have this experience of people who follow you on Twitter, who probably never even tweeted you.
Right.
Who are just, like,
there they are
in person saying, like, I love what you do and I'm so happy to meet you. It's like, hey, it was such a shot in the arm, you know? It was great. But that was the moment where, like, this kind of, like, a couple months ago now, I was like, holy cow, they're like, that's how powerful this is.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was pretty cool.
I've told this story before, but the moment for me that was like, I made it, was a good friend of mine who recently moved down to Boston. She went on a Tinder date, and they sort of got talking about style, and he said, well, I think I dress pretty well. I mean, I read Style Girlfriend and everything.
Oh, hello.
And she's like, oh, the date went nowhere, but I had to tell you.
Nice.
And I was so excited because, I mean, I think I still have this sense of, like, it's my parents reading the site.
Right. You know, that's what I always say. When I very first started blogging about football, It was called Aaron Nagler's Football Report. And my phrase is always, I think three people read it, and one of them was my dad. Like, I'm pretty sure. The other one was my friend.
Like, you can see your analytics, or you can see how many Twitter followers you have, but it doesn't, still doesn't compute until is something that happens offline, and you're like, oh.
Wait a second, this is the real world.
You know,
this actually reaches people. Yeah, it's a cool feeling.
Definitely. So how was Packers camp?
It was great. It was hot. Like, there were people, it was crazy. We stayed at this dump hotel, like, right next to the practice field.
Perfect.
Just so we could just walk out and be right there. Yeah. And I got up at, like, 6 a.m. thinking, I'm on top of it. Like, I'm going to be there. There were people lined up at 6 a.m. outside the field ready to get in. I'm like, it's so great. It's such a great vibe. It's so kind of full of life and hope, and it's the new Packers season. I'm the same way, you know. I'm such a geek about the team. And
well, are you glad that you're also coming from a position of not having to be objective? Like, this is your team.
You know, it's funny. That's really interesting that you ask that, because for a long time I kind of struggled with that, because I was really trying. I think when I was, like, my kind of last year of Bleacher Report, I was really kind of wondering about that. Like, how can I go down this road where I have to be a quote-unquote objective journalist about the game of football, which I think now I'm like, this is so stupid.
Like, it's a game.
It's a game, and it's football, and it's supposed to be fun. Covering it should be fun. Reading about it should be fun. People, and the NFL itself treats itself like it's curing cancer or something. My oldest daughter has the greatest line. Like, whenever there's, like, anything having to do with the NFL, it's all, like, drums and trumpets, and, like, and she's like, they take themselves so seriously.
It's
I'm
not
like,
fanfare.
They really do, and she's so right. I couldn't agree more. But I had this moment where I was like, you know, here, this is, you know, not Edward Murrow. You know, you're not Walter Cronkite here. Like, have some fun. And I was like, and I was kind of kicked myself in the butt. And I was like, own your fandom. Because if I just hide it, people know. People, you know, and that's
and
the other thing.
It makes you less interesting.
I think so, too.
They
want to
get excited with you. There's enough people being kind of sarcastic.
Exactly.
Being drawn.
Like, absolutely, like, neutral. Like, come on. You're not a robot. You have feelings about it. Like, whether you pretend you do or not.
Yeah. Like, thank God you don't work in politics. I mean, at the end of the day, it's football.
It's been fun.
And what opportunities have come since sort of diving in with both feet?
Oh, it's funny. Well, you know, I'm working with FanDuel now, and they're obviously exploding, and you can't turn on the television at the moment without seeing their advertisements.
I know. I've been wondering about that.
It's, well, you know, they're in a race with a competitor. You know, it's all about signing new people up. But it's funny because I don't have a whole lot to do with that end of things. I really just, I make videos for the site, I produce videos, and I write content. So, and I tell people, I've got the best job in the world because I watch football, and I tell people what I think. And who could get mad at that, you know? Yeah, it's great, though. I love the company. I've only been there, like, now, God, like a month, not even.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, it's brand new. So, and I'm having a ball, and it's been fun.
Did they have to pitch you pretty hard to leave what you were doing, or?
No. Well, it was funny because, like, when I was working with Sports Illustrated, I was only doing, like, two or three things a week. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on full time, and I was kind of like, but it gave me a lot of time to focus on Cheesehead TV on my website. And it was funny because then that meant I was home a lot. And over the summer, that meant I was home with the kids a lot. And it's really hard to get anything done when you're home with the kids. They're adorable. I obviously love my children.
Well, that's why it's hard to get anything done, I would imagine.
It is. And the youngest one is so, her name is Olive, and she is.
Oh, that's very cute.
She is totally spunky and totally, and she's now, she told me the other day she's a gamer.
Oh.
She's a gamer. She loves Minecraft and what's the other one? She's really into the Wii U all of a sudden. So she's all into the Lego movie game and Jurassic World, sorry.
She would correct me.
She gets all upset when I say the wrong one.
How old is she?
She's 7.
How many, like, hours a day does she get to game?
I don't know. She's probably doing it right now, actually. Now I think about it. If she had her druthers, I think she'd probably do it like 8 or 9 hours, but you know, try to limit it to like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's, if you're a kid, that's pretty good.
Like, yeah.
You're living the dream if you're playing 2 hours of video games a day. So
absolutely.
But I'm not trying to, like, that's the other, it's a tough road to hoe when you're trying to, like, balance the fact that she's really into it and she loves it and she loves talking about it and she loves talking to her friends about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I want to feed that.
Of
like,
course.
That's great.
It's better than talking about Justin Bieber all day.
Oh, God, don't get me started. I have, our oldest is very into pop music and she does things
she's
like, she just, she's tomorrow going to a meet and greet with Ariana Grande.
Oh my.
And she's got it all planned out. And I'm like, all right, baby, that sounds wonderful. I'm in the middle of work. I'll call you back.
But she's crazy. Really she excited about it. She thought to call her dad about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
You guys must have a great relationship.
We do. She's definitely hit the teenage years hard, if you know what I mean.
Meet and greets with Ariana Grande.
When they're babies, when they're little kids, you can play whatever music
you
want
put on
around
the
house.
And you're like, you'll listen to
we
like
did
it.
Every Sunday morning. That's what we would do. We'd put on the Beatles.
Do you guys have Beatle brunch here? That's a thing in Wisconsin.
That sounds like something I would know about, but I don't.
My dad always used to play it. It was on the radio in Wisconsin. I don't even know what station, but I mean, they still listen to it today.
Wait a second, are you from Wisconsin?
Yeah, I'm from Madison.
You are not.
I swear I'm from Madison.
Wait, how long have we been talking and
I didn't even realize this?
I had no idea. I actually saw this on your wall. I said Brooklyn and Madison. I was like, is that Madtown? Like,
yeah, born and raised. Everyone in my family went to UW.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, I've been on the East Coast for a long time, but.
Yeah, so there you go.
Where in Wisconsin are you from?
Appleton.
Oh my god, I had a good friend that worked in Appleton for like a year. Right. And then left. Mm-hmm. She got into pharmaceutical
sales. It's not for everybody.
It was like her only market like that she could break into, and then now she's off in California. I always think that just permeates. Like, I feel like everyone knows I'm from there because I talk about Wisconsin almost as much as I talk about New York.
Well, you do a very good job of hiding it.
The accent?
On your Twitter feed as well. So that's good.
I lived here when I was 18, and I managed the front desk at a fancy hair salon,
right.
And I very quickly lost the accent.
You weren't allowed to go, okay.
Yeah, basically.
Right. We'll be right with you.
I'm from Madison, so I don't think it's as bad, but then, like, I'll get off the phone with my mom or my sister, everyone still lives there, and all of a sudden it's just like, my vowels.
That happens to my wife when she talks to anybody back home in London. She's from London, and so she gets...
That's cute, at least. That's a good look.
We always used to joke, she used to joke, I would say, we need to let's move to London when the girls were still little.
Yeah, have adorable little girls that are like, Daddy.
Exactly, but she said we weren't allowed to move to London because then I would be the exotic one. That's what she likes being the mysterious.
I mean, you've seen Love Actually, right?
Oh, too many times. I have a love-hate relationship with that movie.
We always watch a movie on Christmas Eve with my whole family,
mm-hmm.
and we watched Love Actually a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
After I hadn't seen it in several years. And so my grandma, my like 90-year-old grandma, is sitting there
And Martin Freeman's naked.
Yeah.
Good times.
And we realized pretty quickly that wasn't the right choice.
Maybe that one for grandma.
Went for the Lego movie that next
there
year.
You go. There you go. That's a good one. See, that's a good one.
But in that movie, the guy moves to wherever, Milwaukee, and all the chicks love him.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, you would be exotic if you went over there.
If I went over there, exactly. But no, 'twas not to be.
Yeah, do you have three girls?
Three girls, yeah.
What's that like? Sounds terrifying.
It can be. no, it's great. I love it. I love them to the moon and back. Madeline is amazing. She's so smart. She wants to be a filmmaker. Actually, her dream job is to make videos at BuzzFeed. That's what she wants to do. And she just
shoot for the stars.
That's what she wants to do. She's like, I love what they do.
And that's awesome.
It's just great. And then there's Violet, who's our middle kid. She's 10 years old. She has autism. And she's the most amazing human being I've ever met in my entire life. Like, she's incredible. And her ability to, like, cut through the BS at any given moment is just great. And then there's Olive, the gamer. So that's them. Yeah, they're great. I love them.
What are you teaching them?
That's great. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm teaching them. Clean up after yourself? I don't know. I know Madeline has mentioned it before about, you know, she wrote me a great card for my birthday this summer, and she was like, to that end, she said, you know, it's really inspiring seeing you following your dream in a city that you... you know, grew up wanting to live in, which is true. Because, as early as I can remember, I always wanted to live in New York City. Like, growing up in Wisconsin, I knew it. I knew that's where I wanted to be. I always say, like, I was Luke Skywalker and Wisconsin was Tatooine. Like, I couldn't wait to get away. Like,
Just for the record, listeners, I never said that.
No, you were Princess Leia. Yeah, of course. No, but I just, you know.
But yes, I feel you. It just never felt like any other option.
Yeah, that's all I ever wanted to do, and now I do it. And it's funny that Madeline has really picked up on that. And I don't talk about it a lot. I don't say it a lot, mm-hmm. you know. But there are moments where I just, today, I was downtown, and I'm like looking at the Brooklyn Bridge going, my God, I'm here. I've been in here 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's still as amazing today as it was when I got off the plane at LaGuardia 15 years ago. You know, it's really incredible where I walk
I'm in Times Square all the time because I'm because I work around there. There's a studio there that I go to a lot, and I still pinch myself. You know, the bright lights, the big buildings, and I just, you know, for a kid from Wisconsin, it's pretty amazing. And so to that end, it's like, I hope I'm teaching them that. I hope I'm teaching them, you know, your passion, your drive. Don't let it get crushed by a lot of silly stuff, which, goodness knows, every day presents opportunities for those things to come along. But, you know, it's great. And I, you know, it also helps when you have an amazing wife, which I do. She's put up with a lot. She puts up with me. She puts up with a lot from me. But, yeah, she's, I mean, without her, I wouldn't be doing this. And there's no doubt about that. But she's really kind of allowed me to do that, to follow my passion and follow something that is really, I'm really passionate about. So it's pretty great. I have a pretty awesome life is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I hope you go home and, like, give everyone big hugs after this. Like,
I will.
I think that's a perfect segue. We love to talk about the idea that it can be really hard to have sort of all burners on. So especially when you're passionate about what you do, other things can suffer. So I want you to be really honest, and I'm going to have you grade yourself.
Okay. Honestly? All right, good, because I've been lying this whole time. So now I'll be honest.
Okay, so let's start easy. Let's start with style. How would you grade yourself?
D+, probably. Well, when you approached me about being on the podcast, I'm like, wait, you got the wrong dude. I follow you because I don't know what the hell I'm doing when it comes to style. If I'm in all black, I'm the happiest. Like, okay. I just want to be in black all the time. Like,
so you're kind of a uniform guy.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, but only because the uniform is black, though. Like, but I see other people wearing really cool stuff and go, God, I'd love to wear that. But I just never am able to put it together. My wife tries to help me, but I'm just hopeless.
No, that's why you're getting a girlfriend. Nobody's hopeless. So what would you say, like a B?
D+.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible. It's terrible.
All right, what about health and fitness?
Oh, awful. I always say that what I do is my workout is my beer mug, you know, and I work out my arm with the beer, the drinking of the beer. I don't know. It's like, I joined the gym last year. I never go. Whenever I go, I always feel like I'm wasting my time.
Okay.
I always feel like I'm missing, I could be doing something more productive. And I realize that's stupid because, like, you're being healthy. Like, that's a good thing, especially when you have three kids and you want to be around to see them grow up, etc. Right. But I'm like, but then there's another side of me where it's like, I'm just going to go like later day Jim Morrison. I'm going to get all fat and I'm gonna grow a beard. And I'm
sure your wife would love that.
I'm sure. Like, and she's the one who's always like, get you to go to the gym. And I'm like, I know.
Is it something that you value? I mean, do you eat healthy?
No. Like, no, I don't. I'm terrible. You've invited like the worst guest for any of this stuff. Like, I don't. I'm from Wisconsin. I like beer. I like burgers.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. But, like, when you're watching football, like, putting
the balance
tofu
goes out of
whack. Doesn't quite work. Like, last night I was watching the Monday Night Football. I was eating nachos and drinking beer, you know?
Nachos,
like,
that sounds really good right now.
It was so good, let me tell you. But, so, yeah, no, I'm not great in either one of those departments.
Well, then let me throw you a softball. Okay. Career.
I'd say I'm hovering around a B. Like, I think.
Yeah?
I think it would depend on what kind of mood you caught me in. Like,
what
right
day?
Right now, I'd say B minus. Yesterday, I probably would have said B plus. So.
Okay. What changed between yesterday and today?
Oh, just work stuff. You know. You know how that. You know.
Yes.
You get like.
You can have a bad.
You get an idea, and you think it's exactly, and you think
something not be all day.
You think something's going to work really well, and it doesn't, or something you didn't think worked well kind of gets magnified. I don't know. I don't know. It's one of those things where. Like, I'm not doing near what I want to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm working to get there. Like, every day, obviously. But, you know I'm on the right path.
You feel like it's in your sights?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's just a question of, like, it's going to take a while to get there.
What's a while?
I don't know. That's a good question. What I'd love to do, like, Corey and I always joke, what we'd love to do is, like, be able to make Cheesehead TV, like, pay my salary. Like,
yeah.
The day that happens, then the dream has arrived. But that will take a while. We always joke about the Packers buying us, and I did actually talk to the Packers this summer.
You know what a cool sentence that is, right?
It was,
I talked to the Packers.
Yeah, it did kind of blow my mind because I had lunch at Lambeau Field with one of their high up executives, and she was great.
On
she was really
line.
Yeah, that would be great. Dinner for two on the 50-yard line. No. It was at their new restaurant. And we were sitting next to the president, Mark Murphy, and it was just surreal, you know? But, and then, you know, they were talking just about, you know, various stuff that I can't get into at the moment.
Oh, sure.
I'm at liberty to discuss right now. But, no, it was great. And so, like, at that moment, I was like, God, I'm this close.
That was an A.
Yeah, that day. That day, A+. Like, it was great. And so, yeah, I don't know, I think that's true of anybody, though, like, in their career. Like, it is a very day-to-day thing, especially now when so much of what you do, you work online, you know, so much of what you do is not only presented, but you get so much feedback instantly, daily.
Yes.
Right away. It's like, it can't help but kind of change your view of whatever it is you're doing, because you're getting instant feedback all the time. And your day is sometimes narrated by social media. You know, that's what's really weird to me, isn't it? Because it's like, these people are just, they're so horrible.
Yeah.
Like, last night I tweeted something about, there was a couple, it was two men, like, asleep on the train. They had obviously been out, they were dressed up, and the guy had his head on his partner's shoulder, and it was so great. It was like, I love living in a city where that is happening, and no one's freaking out, and it's just part of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. And I made the mistake of tweeting about it. I was like, because I was really happy. It's like one of those moments where you're really welling up with pride and happiness, and it takes like all 5 minutes for, you know, the blowback and pushback from that to happen.
Just like ignorant folks?
Yeah, ignorant, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just...
I don't want to think that there's a middle of a Venn diagram of Packers fans and just...
This is just anybody. This is good. I mean, it's football. You know, I have a lot of football fan followers, so... I get that there's going to be kind of, like, disagreements in regards to world issues and whatever, but, like, the need to attack, like, just a completely, you know, innocent little observation like that.
Hey, at least you're not a woman tweeting about sports.
Dude, I can't even tell you. I can't even imagine. Like, I know women who cover the NFL, who cover sports online. I can't even fathom the crap they take and the existence that they have to accept. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not even a question of... Look, we all, you know, even someone like me who recognizes it, I can talk about it, and I have tweeted about it, and I have written about it, and I have spoken to people about it. There's nothing I can do that's ever going to change that existence. And they know, the women in this industry know, that this is part of the gig. And it's, like, they have to accept it.
Yep.
Like, there's no, we had Katie Nolan on our show last year. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, doing very well now.
Yeah, we overlapped for a little bit. I was writing for Gaiaism when she was doing videos,
and now she's got the television show.
Which is amazing. And she's so talented.
She is, and I love her. And then I see people responding to her on Twitter, and I'm like, God, and she's like, yeah, every day.
Yeah.
Every day. I'm like, I can't imagine that. Like, Twitter, like we were just talking about, Twitter as an existence is hard enough, like just in and of itself. But then you throw that on top of it, it's just, I can't even fathom it. Like, it blows my mind. Blows my mind, and they have to deal with it. It's just part of the landscape.
And I think it's one of those things where, because you're not a horrible person, you follow her and you'll read something she says and think, oh, that's funny, or favorite, or reply. And you don't realize, because nobody's necessarily digging into you know, these female reporters' feeds, all the horrible things that are being said.
It's unbelievable.
It's there, but it's only, you know, it only bubbles up.
Because every once in a while, somebody like Michelle Beadle or Katie Nolan will retweet them, and you'll see it. And I'm just, it's like going down a rabbit hole. I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. I can't believe these people are out there. And I recognize that, maybe not a lot, but some of it is just people looking to get a rise out of people. Like, they don't even believe the things that they're typing. They're just doing it because they know they'll get a response, they'll get a reaction. But just that's your existence every day. I can't... Yeah, it's hard for me to...
It's like the people complaining about cartoons times a million. It's just like you have to have better things to do with your time.
Yeah, like, what is your life? That's just all I want to know. I just want to know, what is your life? I don't know.
So before we wrap up, I want to do... we play a little game called Quick Hits.
Quick hits. Let's do it.
On Style Girlfriend, things that we like, we call them SG approved.
All right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I want to know if these things are AN approved.
Okay.
And if they're not, then you say, not this dude. And you don't to explain yourself.
Nope.
Because I hear too often from people, but not for me, but for... No. Okay. Either.
So it's AN approved or not this dude.
All right. You got it?
I'm all in.
All right. Starting with jogger pants.
Not this dude.
Splitting the check on a first date.
Not this dude.
Man tank tops.
Not this dude.
All-inclusive resorts?
AN approved.
Gluten?
Not this dude.
Office romances?
Not this dude.
Man buns?
Not this dude. What are these things?
CrossFit?
AN approved.
Yeah? Okay. Brunch?
AN approved.
Vin Dieseling, which is shaving your head bald as soon as you start to go bald.
Not this dude.
Smart cars.
AN approved.
Sports cars.
AN approved.
And finally, reality TV.
Not this dude.
No?
No way.
Bachelor
viewing? We just got done watching, or Carolyn and my oldest just got done watching, Bachelor in Paradise?
Oh, isn't that the, like...
Oh,
even
my
sexier one?
God, it's just like, how are these daughter? People, like, who are, what, again, what is your life? Like, that would be a whole, we'd be here for another hour. I can't do it.
It's the worst. A lot of the NFL, like, analysts and folks that I follow, right. They love
I know
Bachelor.
They do. I know.
It's like I think it's kind of a dude show.
A couple years ago, I did watch a season with Carolyn.
Okay.
Like, that was kind of our Monday night thing where we would
like
kind of watch
out.
It. We would zone out and watch it.
But otherwise, you weren't letting people know that you were watching?
No, I let people know. You know, I don't... That kind of stuff, I don't really
hide
it.
You don't believe in guilty pleasures.
There's a guy I used to work with at Bleacher Report named Michael Felder. He's a former defensive back, and he played football. Now he lives in Carolina with his wife, and he still works for Bleacher Report doing videos for them. He is the greatest dude I've ever met in regards to the fact that he truly, I mean, truly doesn't care what people think about him.
Ooh, solid.
So... And like, a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
Like, Felder lives it. Like, to the point where he'll be tweeting about his pedicures and he'll take pictures of his toes being colored purple and all that stuff. And, like, people are like, why are you showing this? Dude, what is wrong with you? Because they're football fans. You know,
right.
They don't know what the hell is going on. Here's this former football player getting a pedicure. Like, and he just doesn't care.
He's like, it's fun.
And his favorite thing to do is, like, read Cosmo and Harper's Bazaar. Like, he'll tweet about, like, things that are in Harper's Bazaar, and I'm like, dude, I love you. Like, it's just great. So, like, when it comes to those things, like, you were watching The Bachelor, I throw it out there, because I don't care, you know? I love what I love, and that's just the way it is.
Do you think that you've had to sort of dig your heels in anymore because of the industry that you work in? I mean, because it's, I mean, for... better for worse, it's 2015, and I think NFL and football in general is still this very macho thing.
Oh, very much so.
Do you think that you've, like, leaned into that in a way to be like, well, then, yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want?
I think there was kind of a time where I thought about that. Like, I was really cognizant of it, but now I don't. Like, now I'm just who I am, and if, you know, you don't like that, that's fine. And I know there are lots of people who, like, when they're on Twitter, they're looking for information, or they're looking for, like, just football.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine, great. There are plenty of avenues for you to go down. There are plenty of, you know, news services that you can follow on Twitter for just stats.
Sports stats, you know
what I mean? So, but I'm a person. I'm a human being, and my Twitter feed kind of reflects that. Yeah. So, I'm fine with it.
So then the last thing I want to ask you, I always ask undressed interviewees, what was your first $1 million moment?
I would say when I got married. I still remember I was up in the Bronx at my buddy's place, and we got married downtown at a place called Le Souk in Alphabet City, which is actually now back. They've reopened it someplace else. But it was a Moroccan restaurant, and it was in December, but they had a heated tent out back for us to get married in. And it was a very small wedding. It was only like 25 people. And I remember sitting with my buddy in my suit, and I kind of, you know, caught myself in the mirror, and I was like, damn, I look pretty damn good. You know, she's pretty darn lucky to be getting me. But then I remember it was funny, too, because then I took the train down from the Bronx to go get married.
New York.
I love it, right? And we're sitting there, and I was singing I Will by the Beatles. You know, who knows how long I loved you.
My sister sang it to her husband at their wedding.
I sang it to my wife at our wedding. And she had no idea I was going to do it. And so I got down on one knee and sang it to her in front of everybody. And it was great. But I remember my buddy Luke, who was my best man, he was like, I was wondering why you were singing that song. I was like, yeah, I had to make sure I had it, you know. But
yeah,
I remember
I
was sitting there on the train, like in my suit, like just all dressed up, singing the Beatles to myself. Like, it was great. The whole day was great. Like, we had a yellow cab back from the wedding we stayed at the Plaza that night because it was still a hotel then.
Perfect.
And we had a room overlooking the park, and the next morning, Carolyn, The next morning, Carolyn woke me up at like 5 a.m. And all she said was like, go find Advil. Like, all right, sweetie, no problem.
So it was a good party.
It was great. Oh, we had a ball. And then we walked up the park and we went to the Met and we saw an exhibit there and it was just great. It was just a great, like, 24-hour span. Great New York
Once the hangover subsided.
Yeah, well, you know, that was it. And it was just wonderful. It was just wonderful. But that was it. That was the day I was like, I never liked the way I looked, but that day I kind of liked how I looked.
Who is the suit by?
You know, I don't know. I kind of threw it together.
Really?
I had like a bunch of different pieces. It was, what was the coat? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember. See, this is what I mean. This is why I'm a D plus. I don't keep track of these things. If I like the way it looks, I'll wear it.
Yeah.
Like, you always throw out these great combos, and I'm always like, I would never put that stuff together, and I always have to say.
But then you could, and then you'll be that guy that does.
But
put together
you,
combos.
What you threw out? What was it the other day? You threw out an all black ensemble. I got that. I'm all over that.
You're like, I can handle
that. That was it. That was the one. I think I responded to you. I said, I could. Boom. That was it. It was all black.
We'll just start doing errand days.
That's
just,
it.
Just
all black.
Monochromatic.
There you go. I love it.
Now that we've got that figured out, our editorial calendar is set for the next month.
Perfect. I'm glad I can be of assistance.
Well, Aaron, thank you so much for being here. I know our listeners are going to... I mean, I enjoyed this conversation, so actually they can go screw themselves. I had a great time.
Very nice. Well, thanks so much for having me. It was a shock to be invited, and... I'm glad you did, and I'm glad I came. It was great.
Awesome. Go Packers.
There you go.
That's our show. Our first show. Thank you so much to Aaron Nagler from Cheesehead TV and FanDuel for stopping by. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know I did, and... let's be honest, that's what really matters. Just kidding. Thanks again to our sponsor, Lumoid. Remember, you can head to lumoid.com/stylegirlfriend and use the code STYLEGF at checkout to get 15% off rental for cameras and wearables. Please go support them so they continue to support us. Till next time, this is Undressed. I'm Megan Collins, a Style Girlfriend. Thanks for listening.